Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to Mysteries and Histories with me, your host, Georgia Marie. This podcast audio is adapted from my YouTube channel. I wanted to make my content more accessible for those of you on the go, and we all love a podcast. So if I ever reference anything on screen or a photograph, please bear in mind this audio was originally made for video. It won't hinder your listening experience at all, but just to save any confusion. And if you do want to go and subscribe to my channel, I'm just Georgia Marie over on YouTube. And with that, let's get into it. Hey guys, I'm Georgia, and today I've got a historical story for you, but this definitely could come under the umbrella of mystery as well. I'm going to be sharing with you the story of a man called Joseph Merrick, but you might know him better as the Elephant Man. Joseph had severe deformities over his entire body that started to appear in his childhood with a very small tumour on his lip. By his adult years, he was being exhibited at freak shows across the country, a lifestyle that you'll probably be surprised to find out that he chose for himself. Throughout his entire life, and still to this day, there's question over what it really was that caused the kind of symptoms exhibited by Joseph, what his exact diagnosis was, and that's something we will spend some time exploring towards the end of this episode, after we've spoken about him and his life. It's thought that Joseph Carey Merrick was born on the 5th of August 1862, although he himself would change his exact year of birth over the years. He was born on Lee Street in Leicester, here in England, to his parents Mary and Joseph Merrick Sr. And when he was first born, there were no outward signs of any illnesses. Joseph was a perfectly healthy baby and child as far as anyone was concerned. In fact, he actually seemed to be the healthiest of his parents' children. His younger brother died of scarlet fever aged 4, whilst his younger sister was born with undetermined physical disabilities. Disabilities that do seem to have been different from Joseph's later symptoms. She would sadly end up dying as a young adult thanks to myelitis and seizures that she suffered. And it's also thought that Joseph's mother Mary had a physical disability of her own, but again it doesn't seem like we know exactly what it was, we don't know any details. We do know that Mary works as a domestic maid though, which is a highly physical job, so her disability can't have hindered her too much in her everyday life. Her and Joseph Sr. met and married in 1861 before quickly falling pregnant with Joseph Jr. The pregnancy was without complications, except for one very strange event that Joseph would use to explain away his illness throughout most of his life. This was in the time of travelling circuses complete with animals, elephants, tigers, zebras, lions and more. And one of those circuses was Wombwell's, which was due to be in Leicester in 1862. The circus coming to Leicester was a big and exciting occasion for a lot of people in the city. Everyone wanted to go and see the circus. Once a day at midday, the animal keepers would open the side gates of the menagerie to let the elephants walk out onto the streets. This was quite a clever way of drumming up publicity. People would come far and wide to just see elephants walking down these pedestrian streets freely, and that meant that there were crowds. One day in May 1862, Mary Merrick was in that crowd, many months pregnant with her son. She falls over in the crush of the crowd, right in front of an oncoming elephant, but manages to scramble out of the way before any harm came to herself or to her baby. 3 months later, she gave birth to a healthy Joseph, but in the 19th century, there was a medical theory called maternal impression that was often used to explain away birth defects and congenital disorders. For example, if a pregnant woman experienced some great sadness or grief during her pregnancy, her child would be born with depression. If she had a particular fright, her child would be born with a phobia. If she, say, fell in front of an oncoming elephant and panicked, her child might have a disease that would give his skin an elephant-like appearance. It was folklore. Obviously, this theory is something that was largely discredited by the time the 20th century came around and people started to have a higher understanding of genetics. But even Joseph himself believed for his whole life there was this traumatic event that caused his deformities, writing so in a pamphlet entitled The Autobiography of Joseph Carey Merrick in 1884. And although even now we might not know exactly what it was that caused Joseph's illness, we do know that it probably wasn't this. It probably wasn't maternal impression. Joseph appeared physically normal until he was nearly 2 years old. Some experts do say that he must have had, at the very least, enlargements of the bones from birth, that there must have been something there, and he might have done. But this was the 1800s, they didn't have scans and tests and things to enable an inner look at Joseph's body as a child. Until he started showing external symptoms, nobody really knew that anything was wrong. Mary wasn't aware of anything at all until Joseph was about 21 months old, when she noticed a swelling on his lower lip that would grow over the coming months. Eventually, the swelling would grow into the upper lip as well, pushing his lip out. Then a lump appeared on his forehead and his skin texture began to change, becoming loose but also much rougher in texture. His right arm and feet also started to grow, or at least appeared to be abnormally large. In Joseph's own account, the pamphlet autobiography I mentioned just a second ago, he reports that his symptoms started to form at around 5 years old. But my main source for this video, which is this book, The True History of the Elephant Man by Peter Ford, a fantastic book, states that it began at 21 months. I can only assume that that's when the very first symptoms started, and maybe it wasn't until Joseph was 5 years old that it really started to affect his life, growing slowly but surely. Joseph also had a fall that led to him hurting his left hip, and that would also affect his movement for the rest of his life. It's said that he hobbled rather than walked. Eventually, the growth on Joseph's lip protruded out by several inches, and it would be this that would lend to his later nickname, the Elephant Man. People looked to him and made the connection to an elephant's trunk. He says that he was able to attend school just like other children until he was 11 or 12 years old, at which point his mum died and his life was turned upside down. He wrote that this was the greatest misfortune of his life. Joseph's father then went on to remarry with his landlady, and Joseph writes, "Henceforth, I never had one moment's comfort, she having children of her own, and I not being so handsome as they, together with my deformity, she was the means of making my life a perfect misery." Joseph would run away from home 2 or 3 times, but his father would always convince him to come back. And then at 13 years old, he was made to get a job working at cigar manufacturers. He worked there for about 2 years, but eventually he had to give up as his right hand simply became too heavy to continue the delicate work of making cigars. Now unemployed, Joseph had to start searching for another job, but nobody wanted to employ him. With his ever-growing head and general disability, nobody thought that he would be of any use to them, and he was very aware of what financial burden he was becoming to his family. Imagine being a teenage boy disabled and having to worry about that kind of thing. It eventually got to a point where he could barely speak through the mass in his mouth, and only those closest to him would generally be able to decipher what he was saying. Joseph was forced to support himself by becoming a hawker, essentially going door to door trying to sell goods from his father's shop. And of course, people would open their doors and his appearance would shock people. He became more of a spectacle than a salesman, and he couldn't speak properly, he couldn't give the sales pitch. When it became clear that he just wasn't bringing in any money, Joseph moved out for good and was forced to basically live on the streets of Leicester, just hoping to earn enough money each day to pay for a night in the cheapest lodging houses in the city. It was a really sad existence for anyone to live, but even more difficult for Joseph and his increasing medical needs. Not that there was really much that Victorian medicine could have done for him anyway. Everywhere Joseph went, a crowd of people would gather to just gawk at him. And eventually this became such a nuisance in the city that the commissioners of the city withdrew Joseph's hawker's license, meaning he now had no way at all to make money. With no other options left, Joseph was forced to go to the poor law authorities and apply for admission to the Leicester Union Workhouse, which he was granted. Some described the workhouses as prisons of sorts, but they were simply a place for society to send those who needed help, who had nowhere else to go. The residents would be provided with borderline comfortable living in exchange for their work and labour. Upon entry to the workhouse, Joseph had to give up his own clothing for the drab workhouse uniform. He was given an assigned bed and was given only a small locker for his personal belongings, and he was just surrounded by other destitute people. The elderly who are unable to work, other sick or disabled people, workmen who are unable to find work and their wives and children, unmarried mothers, drunks, orphans. If you had nowhere else to go in Victorian society, then it was the workhouses for you. Joseph lasted only 12 weeks in the workhouse before signing himself out one morning, but of course he found himself unable to get work, so ended up just back in the workhouses again after just a couple of days. He would then remain in the workhouse for years after this point, but his illness was still advancing. Every day the masses on his face were growing, his limbs were becoming bigger and heavier, it became harder to function in everyday life. He was beginning to find it difficult to eat through the masses in his mouth, and by this point his speech had got so bad that he could no longer really communicate. He ended up having to be referred to the Leicester Infirmary for help, where his case was reviewed by surgeons, and they said the only option for Joseph was an operation to reduce the mass on his face, a risk that he was willing to take. And this was a big risk in these times. Nobody ever knew if they'd wake up from an operation in the Victorian times.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
By this point, the mass on Joseph's face was really beginning to represent an elephant's trunk. It was 8 to 10 inches out from his face and was beginning to droop. And against all odds, his operation was a success and a large amount of the mass was able to be removed, with him saying they cut away 3 to 4 ounces of his flesh from his face. That must have been such a relief for him. Once he recovered in hospital, Joseph tried to work out what the next step was for him. He didn't want to have to go back to the workhouse, but he did have an idea. He could place himself on exhibition as a freak. Now, quite often people have an idea of freak shows that controlling overlords coerce and force people into featuring in these shows. But possibly even more sadly, or equally as sadly, that actually wasn't the case all too often. A lot of the time, the freaks would choose the life for themselves, society offering them few other options. At least if they chose to be a part of these shows, they were in control and they'd have money. They wouldn't have to force themselves into difficult or impossible work, and it probably felt less degrading than the workhouse. It sounds awful, and I'm sure some people were forced into it, but that's just the reality of it. So Joseph wrote to a man called Sam Tor, who he heard was interested in exhibiting novelties in a show. By this point, people had sort of started to move away from the word freak, as it's very like othering, and instead called them novelties instead. After a visit to Joseph, who by this point was now back in the workhouse, it was decided by Sam Tor that he would be a good attraction to travel across the country as a long exhibition. At the beginning of August 1884, aged almost 24, Joseph was released from the workhouse and set off on his new life, where he was to be presented to crowds as the Elephant Man, half a man and half an elephant. For a while with his management team, Joseph travelled the country as a novelty, until eventually he went to London for the winter season. There, in London, he met a man called Tom Norman, who took over his management, and Joseph would spend the winter being exhibited in the back of a shop on Whitechapel Road, a curtain drawn around an iron bed that would be pulled back by Tom Norman with a flourish to reveal Joseph on the other side. By this point in his life, and over the coming couple of years, Joseph's head would grow to 36 inches in circumference. Whilst the surgery helped for a bit, the masses did just grow back. His right wrist was 12 inches in circumference, and one of his fingers was 5 inches. The masses on his head grew unevenly, and the majority of his body was covered in these warty growths, giving his skin an uneven texture. Some of the biggest warts exuded an unpleasant smell. He also had his lame hip and a serious case of scoliosis as well, joined the club. His situation was so bad that he had to sleep sitting upright with his knees to his chin, otherwise he would be suffocated by the weight of his own head. And I didn't see this written anywhere, so consider it my own speculation, but with my intense knowledge of scoliosis, I will also assume that his breathing was restricted by his own spine pushing on his lungs as well. He was in a very bad way, but medical help was limited for him. He mostly just had to get on with it. And as a curiosity in London, he did have moderate financial success. It was at this time that the aforementioned pamphlet, The Autobiography of Joseph Carey Merrick, was written and sold as part of this attraction, and most of the financial success actually came from the sales of this autobiography. Eventually, the police did close down the exhibit after what was probably some complaints from the public, and Joseph was forced to go back on the road. But before that point, he had had some contact with some doctors in the city. Turns out that the shop that he was in was directly opposite the London Hospital, and he drew in a number of doctors and medical students out of curiosity. One of these men was called Frederick Treves, and he came in for a private viewing with Joseph, later writing that Joseph was the most disgusting specimen of humanity that I had ever seen. At no time had I met with such a degraded or perverted version of a human being as this lone figure displayed. Lovely words. But Frederick did ask Joseph if he wanted to come to the hospital for an examination, which he did. And like a lot of people at the time, due to Joseph's hindered speech, the doctors all deemed him to be an imbecile at first, but that couldn't have been further from the truth. None of Joseph's symptoms affected his brain in any way. He was actually very intelligent and enjoyed educated conversation. He was simply unable to speak properly. Once you spent an extended amount of time with him though, you would be able to understand what he was trying to say. After a number of visits to the hospital, Joseph decided that he wouldn't be going back again. He said he felt like an animal in a cattle market, stripped naked, photographed, poked and prodded, and despite all of that, they still weren't able to provide him with any answers or hope. So he just went back on the road with another travelling fair, and he even ended up heading to mainland Europe to tour there. But he wasn't much of a financial success this time round. A couple of decades earlier, perhaps he would have been, but by this point in history, public enthusiasm for freak shows and human oddities was waning. People perhaps realising that it was ethically questionable, feeling sorry for the people on show instead of just wanting to look at them. Humanity is constantly learning and evolving. Eventually, Joseph was deserted by his manager and he ended up back in London alone, and his only choice at this point was to go back to Leicester to join the workhouse again. But he had no way of getting back to Leicester, no money, no ability to communicate, and people were scared of him. No one would come close to him, till eventually the police turned up to try and help. The only item he had on him at the time was Frederick Treves, the doctor's, card, and they called him. Frederick took Joseph in a cab to the London Hospital where he was admitted with bronchitis. He was in quite a bad way. He was finally washed and given a proper meal. By this point, it had been 2 years since Treves had last seen Joseph, and his condition had deteriorated rapidly since then. His deformities had completely impaired him. Whereas 2 years earlier, Joseph did have outward disabilities, he was generally in quite good health, but that was no longer the case. He would remain in the hospital for many months at this point, his bronchitis, his condition improving with daily care, but Frederick suspected that Joseph had a heart condition that would eventually kill him. And with their extended time together, Frederick started to understand Joseph when he spoke, and the two men formed a very close friendship. Joseph also formed close bonds with the nurses, who were scared of him at first, but soon realised he was just like any other man. He was naturally suspicious of anyone new coming near him, as you probably would be if you'd spent your entire life being shunned or gawked at, but he did eventually learn to trust people. The book, The True History of the Elephant Man, writes about how nurses would bring him cardboard cutouts from the toy shop to help him pass the time, and they would work together to construct the models. Each finished model would be presented to a member of staff to say thank you for the help from Joseph. But soon it became clear that now recovered from his bronchitis and in a much better condition, Joseph couldn't remain in the hospital for too much longer. He was taking a bed from somebody else who might have needed it more. And it was also clear there was nothing they could actually do for his illness, so what was the point of keeping him in the hospital? But they knew without the hospital, he was destitute, he had nowhere else to go, and he probably would die. A publicity campaign was set up to try and help the famous Elephant Man with his next steps, with the public sending money to help him. The chairman of the London Hospital, a man called Mr. Cargom, wrote publicly that Joseph was a man afflicted by so terrible a deformity that he couldn't even go out into the garden of the hospital during the day. And also he couldn't travel to a public ward or be admitted to an institution for incurables because people just couldn't really look at him. Eventually it was decided that thanks to donations from the public, Joseph could stay at the London Hospital and a suitable living situation was to be prepared for him in the basement. And that meant that his close friendship with Frederick could continue as well. The two men would spend a lot of time together, partaking in intelligent conversations, something Joseph had never had in his adult life. Frederick learned of Joseph's intense love for reading. He loved losing himself in fictional worlds, a way to escape his reality. And now he had somebody to talk to about that. I'm sure in some ways the time in hospital was some of the happiest days of Joseph's life. He was treated like a human. Although of course he would still have his days where he'd fall into a deep depression, unable or unwilling to speak to anyone. To brighten him up on one of those days, Frederick asked a female friend if she could go in and see Joseph, just smile at him, shake his hand, just make conversation. Under no circumstances was she to show any flicker of revulsion or disgust, and she was more than happy to do so. One day she walks into Joseph's room and smiles, which causes Joseph to immediately break out in sobs. He would later tell Frederick that this was the only time in his life where a woman had smiled at him, let alone touched him, shook his hand. He was coming towards his late 20s at this point, and he'd never known something as simple as that. And it seems like this plan had the desired effect as well, because after this point, Frederick would note that Joseph had this newfound confidence. He expressed a want to go live at an institution for the blind, hoping there he could fall in love with a woman who would love him for him, despite his looks. The last years of Joseph's life were full of these happy little moments. He told Frederick he wanted to see the inside of a real house, so Frederick took him home to meet his wife. An actress at the time called Madge Kendall heard stories of Joseph and sent him gifts, along with other members of high society. These small acts of human decency meant that soon he had the confidence to converse with people outside of his basement room. He even met the Princess of Wales of the time, who would go on to send him a Christmas card every single year. He was even able to go to the theatre in a private box. I mean, they would go to great lengths to ensure the general public never saw him, which does seem very cruel in today's time, but they probably thought nothing of it at the time. They just wanted him to go to the theatre and enjoy the show and not offend the general public. He went to the theatre and had a wonderful time. He spoke about it for weeks on end afterwards. On three occasions in the last years of his life, he left the hospital to go on holiday in the countryside, boarding trains on which he was given a carriage to himself. He'd spent his days on holiday wandering the woods, picking wildflowers, making conversation with those working on the land. This was huge to him. He was no longer isolated. But this time was marred with plenty of pain as well, as his condition continued to deteriorate. Despite people coming up with plenty of contraptions over the years to try and help him, Joseph never was able to sleep on his back. His facial deformities only got worse and put more and more pressure on his neck. Surgery again could have been another option, but as the first surgery proved, the masses would just keep growing at an incredible rate. On the 11th of April 1890, aged just 27 years old, Joseph Merrick sadly died at London Hospital. It's strange that he was only 27 years old. He was younger than me. He suffered so much in his short life, but did so many things. That day, about 3 p.m, a surgeon went in to visit Joseph and found him lying dead on the bed. Which is interesting, because as we know, Joseph never slept laying down. Staff with Joseph that morning said that he seemed to be in good spirits, he had no particular anxieties or worries about the world. A ward maid arrived at 1:30 p.m. to give him his lunch to eat in his own time, and he was definitely still alive then, and again, seemed to be in good spirits.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's been much question over the years as to whether his death was accidental or not. If Joseph had just had enough and decided to lay down to sleep, knowing that he would likely be suffocated. Or perhaps he did just fall asleep in that position by accident. We'll never know the answer to that, but his death would have been swift and peaceful. Joseph's uncle, Charles Merrick, was warned to formally identify his remains, and an inquest was held at the hospital on the 15th of April 1890. It was confirmed there that his cause of death was without a doubt asphyxia, with Frederick later saying he suspected that Joseph was just experimenting laying down like other people. But with his death, there was a touch of excitement in the medical community. Or perhaps I shouldn't say excitement. Professionals were intrigued for his autopsy, intrigued to see if it would be able to provide any more answers as to what exactly Joseph's affliction was. And Frederick Treves would be the one to dissect Joseph's body, which I imagine was very hard for him to do. Frederick took plaster casts of Joseph's head and limbs and took skin samples for preservation for future researchers. Frustratingly, these samples would be destroyed in World War II. His post-mortem report would also be lost in the Blitz. Treves was responsible for removing Joseph's bones and forming his entire skeleton, as my video viewers will be able to see on screen currently. Interestingly to me, you can really see Joseph's scoliosis. You can see a widened bone on his right thigh, and you can see the deformation of his skull. It wasn't just masses growing on his head, he was affected down to his bones. His skeleton is still kept at the hospital, but it's not available for public display. It's available for medical students and professionals by appointment only. There is also a small museum dedicated to his life though, and a replica of his skeleton on display. But some people do argue to this day that Joseph's skeleton should be taken back to Leicester and given a proper burial, seeing as he was apparently a devout Christian. I see both sides of the coin here. I understand why, for the good of the medical field, it's helpful to have his skeleton available to be studied, but surely in the 130 years since his death, we've learnt all we can from it. A replica should be enough by this point. And so we enter the mystery portion of today's video, the medical mystery. What exactly was it that Joseph Merrick suffered with? Why have we never seen anything like this again? And he did actually receive one diagnosis in his life when Frederick presented his case to the London Pathological Society, and a prestigious dermatologist suggested that he suffered with a combination of cutis laxa and neurofibroma. Now, cutis laxa is just a Latin term for loose or lax skin, skin that hangs in loose folds, causing the body to have a droopy or wrinkled appearance. This can also affect the connective tissue, including the heart, blood vessels, intestines, and lungs. But it doesn't seem that Joseph had many of those issues in life. As I said, he was perfectly healthy up until the last couple of years. A neurofibroma is a type of nerve tumour that forms in soft bumps on or under the skin, developing anywhere in the nervous system, including in the brain, spinal cord, and nerves. The tumours are non-cancerous but can become cancerous, and they generally cause mild symptoms, but of course it does depend on the tumour. It can cause bone deformities such as scoliosis and larger than average head size, amongst other things. I can definitely see where the dermatologist was coming from with this diagnosis for sure. But these diagnoses don't explain his deformed bones, but this was explained as being due to alterations in his nervous system. However, neurofibromatosis, as the disease would come to be known, pretty much always produces pigmentation spots as well, and Joseph didn't have that. But this is the only diagnosis Joseph would ever have in his life. Neurofibromatosis is also thought to be genetic, and we do know that both Joseph's mother and sister were disabled as well, but we don't know what symptoms they suffered with. Could Mary have potentially carried the defective gene and passed it on to her son? For many, many decades, neurofibromatosis was considered the leading theory in what the elephant man suffered with. Still now, many people think it was neurofibromatosis type 1, plus maybe another disease that led to all of his symptoms. However, many experts in NF1 have categorically ruled out that this is what he suffered with, and this is still a huge point of contention. Another disease suggested over the years has been Maffucci syndrome, which is characterised by benign overgrowth of cartilage, skeletal deformities and cutaneous lesions composed of abnormal blood vessels, and it's caused by a gene mutation. This is a very rare disorder, but there were some good arguments in Joseph's case being Maffucci. The symptoms generally don't become apparent until the age of around 5 and primarily affect the bones and skin, most commonly in the hands and feet, but it could also occur in the skull, ribs and vertebrae. Joseph would have had to have had an incredibly, incredibly severe case though, never seen to that extent again, and although Maffucci often affects hands and feet, it is rarely seen in the long bones of the arms and legs. But Joseph's entire right limbs were affected, his right arm and his right leg. So maybe Maffucci syndrome, but just a really, really bad case. There's also McCune-Albright syndrome that's been suggested, but in my very non-professional opinion, I couldn't really find anything to persuade me that this is what Joseph had. McCune-Albright can cause severe scoliosis, but it does mostly affect girls and causes café au lait pigmentation all over the body, which Joseph didn't have. In boys, it can also cause testicular abnormalities, which Joseph again didn't have. It can cause fibrous dysplasia, where the bone is replaced with fibrous tissue, but this has also never been noted in Joseph's skeleton, so I'm kind of disregarding this one completely. You're probably thinking, we've got his skeleton, why not test his DNA? And of course, they have done that. They did it in 2003 on samples of Joseph's hair and bone, but the test results were inconclusive. A decade later, new research was then undertaken as well, but the bones simply haven't been preserved well enough, and they've been bleached repeatedly over the years, with substances that just degrade the genetic material. At that point, I think around 2013, they wanted to test a hypothesis that Joseph had something called mosaicism, which isn't so much a disease in itself, but instead a condition in which cells within the same person have a different genetic makeup, when a person has two or more genetically different sets of cells in their body. That could explain why seemingly only half of Joseph was affected so much more severely than the other half. According to scientists at Yale, we actually all have mosaicism to a very small extent. But the more frequently it's found in the body, the greater likelihood it is that a person will develop a health condition because of it. Every single case of mosaicism has to be treated differently, but it could explain why we haven't been able to get any solid answers in Joseph's case. But they have been able to get some answers through the genetic testing though. Back again in 2003, a Dr. Karis Eng, a cancer geneticist at Ohio State University, told BBC News Online that he definitely had something called Proteus syndrome, but whether he had neurofibromatosis type 1 as well, they simply don't know, or if it was just something else entirely. As one geneticist has said to bbvaopenmind.com, Richard Trembath, in the absence of any DNA-based confirmation, the clinical diagnosis of a severe form of Proteus syndrome remains the most plausible in Joseph's case.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. livewithchampion.com.
But what is Proteus syndrome? It's a medical condition that leads to disproportionate growth of body tissue, such as bone, skin, vascular, and fatty tissue. It is genetic, but it isn't passed down from parent to child. It's caused by sporadic mutation of the AKT1 gene, a gene that's responsible for growth, division, and the death of cells. This mutation causes the cells to overgrow, and it's one of the aforementioned mosaic conditions. Only some of your cells will contain the mutated gene, meaning that only parts of your body will overgrow, and it is generally asymmetrical. I must admit, I looked at Google images of other people suffering with Proteus syndrome, and I very much see how it could be applied to the Elephant Man case, even if his is possibly the most severe case in recorded history. Specifically, Joseph had the following signs of Proteus. He had macrocephaly, which is an abnormally large head, hypertrophy, basically enlargement of the long bones, and thickened skin and subcutaneous tissues, particularly of the hands and feet. This can include the growth of tumours. Many people suggest a combination of Proteus and neurofibromatosis could explain away every single one of his symptoms, but as far as scientists are aware, these diseases have never appeared in conjunction before. There was a 2003 documentary called The Curse of the Elephant Man, produced for the Discovery Health Channel by Natural History New Zealand, and genealogical research for this film led researchers to trace Joseph's maternal family line. A woman called Pat Selby, still living in Leicester, was found to be the granddaughter of Joseph's maternal uncle, and they took DNA samples of her to see if that could provide any answers. Sadly, it couldn't, but I think they really hoped this would help them solve the mystery. But if it's nothing genetic, or at least the genetic problem couldn't be found in Pat, it is another tick in the box of Proteus syndrome, just a random abnormality. To this day, the Elephant Man is spoken about like folklore, but it was very much a true story in our fairly recent history. It's sad that Joseph was forced to live such a sad existence, hidden away from society because of his appearance, rejected by almost everyone he came into contact with, being forced to tour the country as a freak show and novelty for people to come and gawk at. That's why I think the London Hospital have done the right thing in hiding a skeleton away, no one more to stare and judge Joseph in his death. At one point, Michael Jackson actually tried to buy Joseph's skeleton, but thank God London Hospital refused his offer. Even in death, he was still viewed as a commodity. But his story was a fascinating one and something humanity can learn a lot from, not even just in the medical sense. His treatment was subhuman and nobody should ever be forced to live like that. He was just a man who loved reading and theatre and telling stories. Thank you so much for watching, and a huge thank you to Babbel for sponsoring this video. I really couldn't run this channel anymore without sponsors, so please do show your support for me and for Babbel by checking them out in the link down below. I'll see you in the next one. Bye guys.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.